It's like we're live. Welcome to the Part-Time Money Podcast.
Hi.
I have with me today Christina Twigg from Easy Care Sitters. That's easycaresitters.com. And today we're going to be talking to Christina about her story, starting her business on the side. She also has a full-time job that she manages as well. So we're going to be talking about that and about her business, which is a babysitting service that she runs, multiple families, multiple sitters, it sounds like. So it's a full-scale operation. I'm excited to hear about it. And I've seen her website. It looks really cool. So you guys need to go check it out. It's at easycaresitters.com. And welcome, Christina.
Thank you. Hi.
So the first question I always ask folks is, why'd you decide to start making some part-time money?
Well, I had worked a long time for almost 2 years at a childcare company where they did everything, but I ran their babysitting aspect. And when I left that company, I started fresh and I was a receptionist. And I remembered the time I had there and how much I kind of enjoyed it. And I thought, if I were to run a babysitting agency only, not a childcare company that focused on so many things, but just babysitting, I'd be able to give parents really focused and personalized service and something they could really trust and rely on. And I decided that I may as well give it a try. I had great connections with all the sitters I'd worked with in the past, and I decided, why not try? If I succeed, that's wonderful, and I get to do my own thing. And if I don't, then at least I can always say I try and not regret it. So that's what happened a little bit over 3 years ago.
Awesome. So what? Tell us about the business. Explain sort of what services you provide.
Sure. So it's very simple. Basically, I have a pool of sitters that have been background checked and CPR certified. I hire them all based on either friend referrals, sitter referrals, or even parent referrals. And so I have a level of connection with them. There's, no Craigslist hiring or anything like that. And what happens then is a parent can email me or call me, usually it's by email, and say they need a sitter for a particular date and time. I contact the sitters for them so the parents don't need to call 30 people themselves. I do it for them. And then once I find somebody, I set it up. I give the sitter all the information she or he needs to get there. And the parents are then given a confirmation with the picture of the sitter along with a little bio, letting them know a little bit more about the sitter. And they're explained the hourly rate. And that's basically how it works.
Awesome. So you're like the sitter dispatch.
Yeah, I'm kind of like an agent in a way, yeah. Babysitting.
The broker. I have a question on that, but that's, I'll come back to that. Let's see. Why would people come to your business versus something like the babysitter down the street, or something like sittercity.com or something, more of a generic, bigger sure. website?
So I think the benefit of Easy Care Sitters over Sitter City is that it is a small company and it's owned by me, a person. You actually know who it is, and I'm the person who runs it. So it's a very personalized service. You always talk to me. SitterCity.com, on the other hand, you do have access to many sitters and you're able to see their profile online, but you don't really talk to somebody. You kind of pay online and then contact the sitter directly, which can be great, but if you're in a pinch and you need somebody last minute, having to contact sitters separately time and time again can be difficult, whereas contacting me, you call one person or email one person, and I'm the one that does the legwork and contacts the 30-plus sitters for you.
Gotcha.
And in terms of the babysitter down the street, I think that's why the system works in big cities, kind of like New York City or, hopefully one day LA, San Francisco, because the whole sitter down the street thing isn't as common here as it would be in the suburbs where you're in the neighborhood. So very often parents very much need somebody and they don't have a neighbor that they can rely on. And so it's really made for a metropolitan sort of destination.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. You found yourself a great niche there. Do you have competitors that are doing a similar thing?
Yeah, there are definitely a few. I can think of four or five in the New York area. Some of them have been around a really long time, like the Babysitters Guild of New York, but from what I've seen on their website and from what I've heard, they haven't been very active lately. And so luckily they're not much of a competitor. And with the other ones around here that are a little bit more similar to my model, are priced a little bit more than mine. I definitely priced my service competitively so I could gain the upper hand.
Gotcha. Very good. Well, I like the sound of the way you started the business. You were actually working in a daycare facility, so you sort of learned the nuts and bolts behind the process of booking parents or getting them, engaging with parents, and
yes.
You saw sort of an opportunity there to take a certain element of that and use it as a business. A lot of people sitting at a job like that wouldn't necessarily think entrepreneurially that way. So what maybe motivated you to think that way, or what do you think is different maybe about you that said, I should go do that?
You know, I think it's that my husband likes to say I'm a little bit crazy because I'm a multitasker, so I always want to do something. And the idea kind of just popped into my head, and one of the sitters who I used to work with, I'd said to her, as a joke, maybe I'll start my own babysitting agency. And she was so supportive and said, absolutely, you should do it. And having somebody actually back you up on what you thought was just a silly inkling is really helpful. And I think I'm a bit of an overachiever and I like doing my own thing, and being able to say that I'm providing a service that is very helpful, knowing that parents are able to get to work or go on their date night, or when their nanny calls out, they're not in a jam. It feels really good to be that person to help. And I think that's an attractive part of it, knowing that I'm running a business that helps their life go more smoothly.
I like it. That sounds great. So let's back up a little bit before we go forward.
Sure.
And talk about, and you may have mentioned this a little bit, but maybe talk, if you can, share with me your financial situation when you decided to go to run this business on the side. I mean, did you look at it as a way to bring in some extra income for your family, or?
It was, I knew that at first it would be a little bit of a risk, only because obviously to set up an LLC and get a website, etc., you do have to put some money into it. But I also knew that in general, in terms of opening or starting your own company, this particular business has little to no capital to begin it. I just have to set up the LLC, hire the sitters, etc., but it wasn't like opening a restaurant where I need thousands of dollars to be able to even realize that.
Right.
So my thought was it'd be great to kind of start this up and have it be kind of like a secret savings account that, I would never access it unless, there were an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why that's why I run it while working, a full-time job. But what I found is that in these past few years, there really is a market for it, especially in New York. And because I've been focused on providing good service, I want to be there for the parents and I want to give them the attention they deserve. I haven't been reaching out or trying to expand my client base too much because having the full-time job means I kind of have to work my actual full-time job too.
Right.
So for now, it's kind of a savings account, but my hope is that I will gain confidence and then just bite the bullet and make it a full-time thing and really grow it. And then hopefully it will not be a savings account. It will be the account.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds good. So how many how many jobs do your sitters, or how many sitters do you have?
I have 30 sitters on the list right now.
Okay. And how many do you use a week?
You know, it's really sporadic, but I would say somewhere between at least 5 a week to 20.
Okay.
It's kind of all over the place. Some weeks are really busy, and I feel like almost every sitter is out there. But others are a little bit more relaxed, so it's always changing.
Gotcha. Do you get a standard cut out of each sit?
Well, actually, how I do it is I don't take a cut from the sitter's hourly rate. What I do instead is parents have to pay me a booking fee.
Oh, that's right. So you mentioned that, yeah.
It's either a $10 booking fee for one booking, or they can buy a booking bundle, which is, you know, they get 12 bookings for the price of 10. And that's what I take. The rest goes to the girls.
Gotcha. Awesome. Yeah. So that sort of justifies, the $10 sort of justifies you going out and finding the sitter and being, like you said, the bookie there.
Yeah, and also it pays for the background checks and the CPR certification. So it's kind of all in one.
Okay, so is that a one-time deal, or do you have to always update that with your sitters?
Well, CPR certifications usually expire within 1 or 2 years, so that needs to be recertified. And a background check, I believe, is the same. Every 2 years, you need to perform a new one.
Gotcha. Yeah, that was going to be one of my earlier questions. I mean, I would think going into any kind of service where you're dealing with someone's kid, you know, the legal issues involved here might scare someone away. So maybe talk about, you know, how you got over the hurdle of doing that.
Sure. Well, this is another scenario where working at that child care company really did help me with this. So I wasn't as new to it.
Right.
But of course, the background check is essential. So that was one way to face that hurdle. I knew it was something that needed to be done. It's just common sense. And then because of how the business is run, I'm basically an agent, but all these sitters are freelancers technically. They're not under my employ. And so what I do is I have parents sign a liability waiver form that I keep on file. And that's basically protecting the company from any sort of lawsuit, unless, of course, there's some gross neglect on the part of the sitter, which then, of course, you know, I would have to face that. But that is signed by every single parent before a sitter ever goes there. And so that's how I kind of safeguard myself against the fear.
Did you talk to a lawyer to develop that form?
Well, I actually based the form on what my previous employer at the childcare company did, and gotcha. I changed a few of the stipulations. But I believe theirs had been drawn up by a lawyer.
Good deal.
Yeah.
And do you have any kind of contractual relationship with the sitters?
Yep. They sign a contract when they start. Basically, the only, you know, aside from basic code of conduct and how they should act, it basically states that, you know, they should not be working at another babysitting agency. And it also alerts them that if a parent were to ask them if they would want to work with them directly, so not with the agency, they're of course more than welcome to do so, but that will result in immediate termination from Easy Care Sitters.
Gotcha. Very good.
Yeah.
So contracts with the parents, contract with the sitters themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to deal with any kind of payment with the sitters.
Nope.
And then you take the booking fee from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So then growing your business is a matter of either increasing your booking fee or increasing the volume of sitting that goes on, right?
Right. I think ultimately it'll have to be a mixture of both. I'm finding that for the New York area, the $10 booking fee is really low. And so chances are next year that will go up, and I will also finally start advertising. So that will, of course, bring in more volume.
So what are you going to do advertising-wise?
Well, I'm thinking that I'm definitely going to put up, you know, ads on parent message boards. There's so many just all over just Brooklyn that many parents go to ask for advice, not only on nannies, but on food and, you know, garage sales, etc. So that's a great place to target them. I started doing some Yelp advertising today, actually. It was day one. And I believe I'm also going to talk to Google about, you know, having Google paid search. That's okay. For the beginning.
And have you had much luck with some of the PR that you're doing? I know that's kind of what got us in contact. I mean, have you?
You know, I had one other thing published, I guess. They were asking business owners for tips on how to best treat your clients, and that was something that was published in the blog a few months ago.
Gotcha.
So it's definitely been great. This help a reporter out has been definitely helpful.
Yeah. For listeners, if you have a business or if you have a brand, definitely check out Help a Reporter Out, HARO for short, or HARO for short. Mm-hmm. Get yourself out there and start promoting yourself with some of these options. I put myself out there as an expert in personal finance, and I contribute to other sites. And then also I source my podcast using HARO oftentimes to find people who fit the mold. It's often hard to find someone who started a business on the part time, like yourself, Christina. So I use that service, and that's I would highly recommend anyone out there to use it either on either side of the equation.
Absolutely.
Okay, so backing up a little bit, when you first started out, you mentioned the website and the LLC. I mean, was that just easy for you, or did you have to? Maybe help someone out that may need to get that started, you know?
Sure.
How did you do that?
Well, I did it in the most cost-effective way possible. So forming the LLC, you know, there's no way around it. So I filed all the paperwork. It's super quick and easy, and you get a tax ID number. And then when it came to building the website, I wanted to be able to do something myself as opposed to paying somebody to design it. And then hosting it, because that can be very expensive. So what I did was I found Wix.com, that's Wix.com, and it's a really great service. It makes it super easy to build a website, and you can customize it, add backgrounds, etc. You can't bring in your own branding, so you can't upload your own, you know, background. But there's so many options, you know, it's really flexible.
Gotcha.
And I did that because it was the most cost-effective way for me to get a website done by me doing it as opposed to somebody else. And then once that was done, I was kind of ready to go. You know, I had the website and the LLC, and now it was time to find sitters. And so, because I had contacts from my other agency, I spoke to those sitters, and, you know, some of them wanted to work for me, and so they moved over, and that's how it all started. I mean, it's a lot of word of mouth, and once you have one sitter, you're able to get many others, and that was the same thing with finding clients and potential parents. You know, people like to talk, and when they're talking about something new and exciting, and hopefully that they like, right, where it gets around.
Gotcha. So the LLC, did you do that yourself, file that online?
Yeah, just online. It was $300 or something to get it all done properly with the service, and, you know, they made sure all the paperwork was in line, and it was very easy and not stressful.
Oh, you used a service?
Yeah, I cannot remember the name of the service, but a coworker of mine at the time had just done it, and he recommended this portal basically, where it makes sure you fill out the right forms, sends everything in for you, and keeps track of it, so you don't have to worry about it. Everything is in one place.
Something like a LegalZoom.com.
I think it was LegalZoom. Yeah.
Okay, well there you go. They're the leader in that space.
Yeah.
$300, that's New York, but that included their service as well.
Right.
$300 is the total fee in tech, either 200 or 300, I can't remember. But
Yeah.
yeah, that's something that's that everyone should definitely go out and do. Provide themselves a little separation between their personal and their business.
Absolutely.
From a tax perspective, have you brought an accountant on, or
Well, yeah, when I file my taxes, my personal taxes, I also do the EasyCare taxes. And, because we're still a very small company, I haven't really noticed much of an effect. And because there's no payroll, since I'm not paying any of the sitters, I thus far have really not had to worry about anything tax-wise.
Gotcha. All right, so you mentioned somewhere between 10 and 30 a week, is that right?
Yep.
Sittings. So at $10 a pop, you're talking maybe 1,200 to 1,000 to 12, maybe 1,500 a month in total sales.
That's a really good month, yes.
Okay. Very good. Very good. That's a solid, that'll pay your mortgage right there.
Yes.
And let's talk about hours. How long does this take you to manage all this?
Well, I would say that I spend at least 3 hours a day, at the very least, emailing parents, sending confirmations to sitters, managing the schedules, and it could take up to 6 hours. Sometimes I'll find myself getting back from my day job, but still working from home, dealing with whatever EasyCare thing has, I've left for last.
Gotcha. So at this point, it's pretty time heavy, but it's good cash. How do they pay you?
Well, I use the Square app and I take their credit card information and run it through.
Does that have to be face to face? Or do you have an online payment system?
No, it's what they do is they give me their credit card offer
Hold the
they give
phone.
me their credit card information and I keep it on file, and then anytime they make a booking, I'll let them know I'm going to charge them, and then I just run it through.
Awesome. Right, good deal.
Yeah, it's great.
So, and like you said, no overhead at all. So it's just your time.
Yeah, it's very nice. I mean, the only time there is overhead is when I'm paying for a background check
Right.
or the CPR certification, but that's minimal.
Oh, let's talk about that. What services do you use for those?
Well,
For the background check.
what I've been doing is, and I'm actually in the market for a new provider, so if you by any chance know, I'm eager for your advice. But I've been using the Sittercity background check option,
Oh, okay.
so that I know it's done properly and it's legitimate. And for CPR certification, at least in the greater New York area, there are lots of options. Of course, the Red Cross, but there's smaller companies as well. And I actually recently started a partnership with somebody who runs her own CPR certification in the neighborhood. And so we provide each other discounts. So the sitters are able to get CPR certification for a little less than usual, and her clients are able to get babysitting through me at also a discount.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do a I'm a I have a rental property, and I have to do a background check, and I can't remember the service right now,
All
but
right.
I'll email it to you after. It's a great service. I think it's $19
Great.
per application, but I would doubt that it's as thorough as probably what you need. It's more
Right.
on the financial
That
background.
makes sense. More like a credit check.
Right. It does have a criminal background check, but
All right.
So I'll forward that to you.
That'd be great. Thank you.
And I'll include that in the show notes for everyone paying attention online. Okay. A couple more questions.
Sure.
And then I know it's getting laid out where you're at.
It's fine.
Oh, have you ever sat? Do you ever do it?
Absolutely. If there are any last minute requests that none of the sitters can do that I happen to be available for, I'll take it. Or if a sitter ends up being very sick and I'm not able to get somebody to cover for her, but I can make it, I will absolutely do it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, two more questions. Let's end on these. First one is, you know, what have you done right in the business that you look back and say, you know, I'm set up now, I'm having success now because I did this?
I would say the thing that I have done right is my ability to communicate with the parents effectively. I over-communicate almost. I make it a point to reply to them as soon as possible. I give them as many details as I can, and I'm always eager to make sure that they know exactly what's happening. I don't ever want them to feel like they're in the doubt about anything. So I'd say it's customer service really is the reason why the business has done so well, is being responsive and available.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's something that can't be, well, I guess you could replicate that if you ever needed to outsource your job, but you would need to sort of, you know, get that message across to whoever you had doing that. But
yes,
that sounds like it's a big part of your business, meeting that middle niche like you talked about, where you're sort of in between the babysitter down the street and the big boys, the big block.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that's got to be your differentiator, right?
I mean, absolutely.
Like you said, that the people know you, trust you, comfortable working with you. That's good. That's good stuff. Now, what about any things along the way where you look back and you're like, if I hadn't have done that, or that was probably one thing that slowed me down from having success earlier, or maybe something that's currently a pain in your side that you're looking to change in the next few periods here?
You know, I think, that's a tough one. You know, I think what it is, it would actually be my lack of advertising.
Okay.
I've done none. You know, I've relied very much on word of mouth, and granted, that's been great. It's time to actually do some advertising, because at the end of the day, that's the only way people will know who I am and get my name out there. So I think definitely, you know, I've been around for 3 years, but I'm not as big as one would expect after 3 years. So I think that's where I should have stepped it up a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, I like the website, so I know when people land there, and obviously when people talk to you on the phone, you're very pleasant to deal with. So once you get them in the door, I think you got them. But you're right, you got to go out there and get them.
Right. Well, actually, the site that you saw is brand new. I just had it redesigned, so that's no longer the Wix.com website. Mm-hmm. That is I put some money into it website.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, was that who did that for you?
Well, because I work in advertising, I'm a copywriter. My art partner is a phenomenal, wonderful, talented lady, and she was amazing enough to agree to do it just to have something for her portfolio. So she designed it all, and then I outsourced the programming to a company in India who set it up perfectly in just 2 weeks.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks great.
Thank you. Yeah, it's my pride and joy.
So any questions I didn't ask that I should have?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I can add that I do have a 5-year plan, or I'm hoping 2-year plan, to no longer have the full-time job and to only be doing easy care. So that's something to look for.
Let's delve into that maybe a little bit. I mean, what's it going to take to get you there, both from the business standpoint and from your personal finance standpoint?
So in terms of finance, I know that if I'm able to get enough volume so that I have at least 20 bookings a day – then that would make it absolutely financially viable. That would also mean I would, of course, really have to leave the full-time job because I'd want to give, I'd need to be able to give it 100% of my attention so that I could, again, deliver on the customer service and et cetera. Right. That also means hiring many more sitters and potentially, and this would be wonderful, but potentially having somebody who's on the call so that I know they're available whenever I need them. So if a last minute request does show up, I know I can fill it for sure, as opposed to hoping that somebody's available.
Right.
And I think what it means is kind of working my butt off this year and then sucking it up and just diving in and, you know, really putting all my efforts into advertising, going to events, meeting people, forming more partnerships with local small vendors like toy stores and, you know, children's salons, etc. So hopefully, I think it'll happen.
Very good. So do you like your current copywriting gig?
You know, I do. It's I have such wonderful coworkers, and it's in a great location. And the work, though sometimes repetitive, can sometimes be very fun and creative. But at the end of the day, when I go home and I reflect on the day, I don't reflect on copywriting. I reflect on what happened with EasyCare. And, you know, I'm really excited when I get a new client or when I get a great response from a current client saying they're so happy. That's what really makes me happy. And I think that's what I need to make me satisfied with all aspects of my life, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's probably a good place to stop. So I wish you all the best, and I appreciate you sharing your story with everyone listening on the podcast. Lots of valuable information in terms of how you started the business, how you're managing it. And so I really appreciate you being on with me, Christina.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time. I'm glad we managed to schedule it.
Yes, finally, right? So how can people get a hold of you or find out about more about your service?
Well, they can go to easycaresitters.com, or they can just email c.twig@easycaresitters.com, or if they want, they can call at 347-855-5437.
Awesome.
Great.
Well, that sounds great. And if we're ever in New York and we need a sitter, I know exactly who to call.
Please do. We get lots of tourists, so I'll be happy to help.
All right. Thanks, Christina.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right. You too.